Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much fun I had riding my bike here this morning? It was so cool. It was so beautiful. The weather was so nice. Riding under the dappled shade of those live oaks down Government Street, it's just an amazing thing. Just taking it all in, listening to the birds. What a great ride in. It's something I recommend you do. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day in Mobile. You know, yesterday something happened that reminded me how diverse Mobile is and how we have to think about that very carefully and how diverse the area around Mobile Bay is. I was out on Airport Boulevard. This time not on my bicycle. Not on a Saturday. Too many crazy folks. And I pulled over to the side, and it started raining. And I mean, the rain was unbelievable. Unbelievable. 50-mile-per-hour gusts, I checked at the airport. Just virtually 50-mile-per-hour gusts. The rain was just, everything was leaning over. The light poles were rocking back and forth. It was an amazing rain, a ton of rain, almost, you know, as close to 2 inches of rain, I think. And it fell in about, just to give you a sense of how the Gulf Coast is, everybody, it's about 2 inches of rain in 45 minutes. They had 2 inches of rain in that period of time in Virginia the other day, and it blew a town off the map. We get that kind of rain all the time. We've kind of adjusted to it. We learned to live with it. It was amazing. 2 inches of rain, and I'm thinking, my garden is going to be flooded. I mean, the whole world is going to be flooded. It is going to be terrible. I think everything's going to be laid down. There's going to be water in all those seeds that I just planted, they're going to get watered. And so the rain quit. I got in the car. I came home. I mean, it's not 4 miles. It's not 3 miles from where the rain was. No rain at all. Zero rain at all. Dry as a bone. Absolutely. I checked the weather. There were no 50-mile-per-hour gusts. I mean, it wasn't this hurricane. It was a 3-mile-per-hour wind during the same period of time. It's very interesting, and this time of year, it's really peculiar. I don't know if you've noticed it. There are things that happen with rainstorms that come in this time of year. I've noticed it a lot, maybe more often in the past few years, particularly in May, June, and the early July, that the rainstorms come over the hill, Spring Hill, Cottage Hill, over the bluffs there. Really, they're bluffs. Over that plateau. They come over that bluff into the old floodplain of the Mobile Tensaw River, which is where the malls are, which is where most of Mobile is. And about the time they come over, they get to Florida Street, and boom, they quit. It is the most amazing thing. I mean, I think this time of year, you could stand on one side of Florida Street and look to the other side of Florida Street and laugh at the rain. You could just stand there and laugh at the rain because it's not going to get to you. It's just amazing how it stops. I don't know why that is. It's weird. It's sort of like a mountain effect, isn't it? It's the way mountains affect rainfall in North Carolina. I remember there's a place on one side of the mountains that gets, man, it gets 60, 70 inches of rain a year. Really, not even many people live there. It just rains all the time. You go to the other side of the mountain, it's called Dry Ridge, Weaverville. You get 30 inches of rain a year, 35 if you're lucky. It's amazing how little features like that can make a big difference. And that's how it is in Mobile. Sometimes when we assume things are happening – here along the Gulf Coast, they don't happen quite the way we expect. We don't get rainfall quite the way we expect. Everything is very local here, and it makes our climate very, very local. I know some of you said, I may even heard that some of you probably got a little bit of hail yesterday, and I suspect those who were in the middle of that rainstorm probably got your trellises knocked down. We should talk about this morning and commiserate, and also talk about how do you build a really good trellis in a place like Mobile where we get 50-mile-per-hour gusts all the time. Something to think about, something we'll be thinking about today. Thinking about when we're gardening, Mobile's a very local place, and understanding gardening means understanding that local climate. There's another thing that happened this week. I want to talk a little bit about it. Oh, I shouldn't talk about it, but I am. So I'm working in my garden, and I'm going to talk about it because it really affects the way you garden. And I'm working in my garden, kind of enjoying it, thinking, you know, it's really kind of pleasant, except for the mosquitoes. I admit the mosquitoes are just a little bit annoying, I don't wear short pants. I put on socks so that the mosquitoes don't drive me crazy. But I'm enjoying the garden. I'm out there planting stuff. I'm pulling weeds. I'm doing that miserable stuff too. I'm pulling weeds, but I'm enjoying it. And this lady comes by and she says, "God, I just don't know if I can live in Mobile. It's just so hot here. It's unbelievably hot. I mean, there's nothing I can do to cool down. I can't work. There's just no way to garden here. I can't work in this kind of weather." And I'm thinking, wow, because it ain't even hot yet, and I'm out kind of enjoying it, and it's not that. So what is going on with temperature? Well, I'm going to tell you a few things I've noticed. I've learned a lot about air conditioning. I have a friend who likes to crank the air conditioning up. That means turning the machine up so that it is cold. In the idea that somehow it offsets the fact that you get hot outside as a result of turning the air conditioning up, however you want to look at it, turning the machine on higher so that it's putting out more cold air. My power bills have gone up enormously. I mean, not just a little, enormously. Just for a few degrees difference in temperature. That's important, and I'll figure that one out somehow. But here's the other thing. When I'm in those very cold environments and I go back outside, I find the outside very unpleasant and very hard to work in. It doesn't cool me off. It doesn't prepare me for it. You know, one of the old recipes for this is a myth we tell ourselves. One of the old recipes that people used to have for staying cool was not to take a cold shower, but to take a lukewarm shower, just a mild shower that's just a little bit cooler than your body temperature. And it helped you to adjust. It helped you to feel a lot better. And there's even scientific evidence that really works. You know, there's something called adaptive comfort, and we've lost it. And it's why Southerners are going to be the people who are least adapted to living in the South are going to be Southerners. The only people who are going to be able to live in the South are people from Michigan and Canada, where they're not so tuned into living with their air conditioners all the time. And turning them up, because when you live with your air conditioner all the time, that's what your body adjusts to. And of course it feels hot when you go outside. You know, it's not that bad outside. Oh, I know that's the most controversial thing I could possibly say on this show. I couldn't say anything political that would be more controversial than that. But think about it sometime when you're dealing with it, because it's an impediment to your gardening. When your body adapts to being that super refrigerated style of temperature, you lose your ability to enjoy life in Mobile in summer, which people have done for generations without air conditioning. Just think about it. Turn your air conditioning up just a little bit. If you need if it seems a little hot, turn the fan on. It's good. It cools you down just about the right way by evaporation, but your body begins to adjust to those temperatures. You'll get used to it. It's amazing how it works. It's for the same reason that, you know, if you, you wouldn't, you might have shorts in January here, but you always have to have a sweater at the same temperature in October because your body's always adjusting. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk a little bit about these dorms. Let's talk about trellises. Let's talk about your gardening. Boy, I've got some pictures of cucumbers. We're going to talk about cucumbers and why maybe they're not fruiting. We might need to talk about that a little more. And we got a great song.
Have a little song. Won't take long. Sing it right once or twice. Everything I got is done and gone. Everything I got is done and gone. On my watch, on my chain, on everything that was in my name. Oh, Lord of me, didn't I shake sugary? Everything I got is done and gone. Everything I got is done and gone.
Hey folks, there's nothing like giving dad peace of mind for Father's Day. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes can help do just that. Whether he's a gun collector or a coin collector, Mike Ward's Liberty Safes has the right safe at the right price. This week only, get 0% interest with approved credit and 24 months to pay. Choose from a variety of Liberty safes with a lifetime warranty against theft and fire. Give dad what he needs for Father's Day. Peace of mind. Free ground floor delivery up to 50 miles. Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. Exit 5B, I-65 at Moffett Road in Mobile.
The right hire can have such an impact on your business, so it's crucial to make sure that your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. And you could try posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see the posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every single day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds on LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to linkedin.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
In 1918, two banks began working together with one common goal, helping people reach their dreams. A perfect match, a perfect union. Now, 100 years later, and with thousands of dreams reached, Hancock Bank and Whitney Bank have one name. Hancock Whitney. One bank. One mission. One name. 100 years in the making. Hancock Whitney. Your dream. Our mission.
Gulf Coast Tools is open in their new location, still in Foley at the Outdoor Center,
now facing Highway 59.
For a wide selection of name brand and off-brand tools, including Festool, DeWalt, Bosch, and Craig, visit locally owned and operated Gulf Coast Tools. Save time, save money, and get the job done right. Gulf Coast Tools is your local authorized Big Green Egg dealer, offering all sizes and accessories. Stop by their new location today at the Outdoor Center in Foley.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. You know, Charlie and I were talking. He's gotten a new thing from Alabama Power that allows him to set back during peak hours. I don't think that's available to everybody. Probably only where they can get a good signal. They're probably trialing it in some areas to see how it works out for them.
Yeah, it's a radio control deal.
Yeah. And so it if they can, if it increases their money a little bit, they'll do it. But here's the interesting thing. For every degree that your temperature in summer is below the outside temperature, it's about a 10% increase. About a 10%. Let's just average it. It's about a 10% increase in your power bill.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can look at it another way. If you drop, just look at it each way. 10%. If you were to have, if the outside temperature, you know, the average outside temperature this time of year is about 78 degrees. It's going to be hotter than that at certain times of day, and that's when your air conditioning is going to be working a little harder. It's going to be less hot at other times of the day. But, you know, if you were to set your thermostat, rather than setting it at 79 degrees, if you set it at 76 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you could have, particularly if you've got your ductwork in your attic, which is where it's exposed to the sun and where we're getting lots of sunlight this time of year, you could see, I would not bet that your increase on your power bill would be somewhere around 25 to 30%. And that's huge. That's huge.
During the day, I'm home a lot. And so if it's just me there, me and the Chihuahuas, and they're supposed to love hot weather, that's a myth. Anyhow,
They are adaptive, too. I mean, they would get used to it just like people do.
Oh, I guess. But they pan a lot. Anyhow, I'll move my thermostat up to 76, 77 degrees if I'm the only one there. And, and that's pretty comfortable during the day, just me. Yeah. But I've noticed by doing that, my light bill has fallen off about $50.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I keep mine I would keep mine around 79 or 80. And that will freak some people out, I recognize. But it's very comfortable.
Well, we bring it down a little more at night, but hey, it doesn't have to work so hard at night.
Yeah, it doesn't. One of the problems at night is that if it we have our air conditioners don't deal well with humidity. And humidity tends to be more of a problem at night. For many reasons, and because your air conditioning isn't cycling on as much, because the outside temperature, the humidity increases, and the humidity becomes uncomfortable at night. That's not something we deal with very well. We could talk a lot about air conditioning, but just a word of warning, we have turned ourselves into spacesuits. We've turned our houses into spacesuits. We live like we live in a spaceship. And it ain't good for us. It's not good for us. I'm just saying, you're in the spaceship, and I can't stop you, and you wouldn't want me to stop you, and I want you to go off to Mars or wherever. But you're in a spaceship.
And Bill, when you and I were kids, it didn't feel so hot.
It wasn't so hot.
Well, I know
there were some days, but you would remember the days that you'd say, "Oh man, it's particularly hot. It's hot today." But,
yeah, but
you wouldn't say that
on,
every day.
You just went on about your business.
That's right. And it was interesting. And we spent all day outdoors. Many of us didn't have air conditioning. I remember the first house that had air conditioning that we had.
We had a box fan in the window.
Yeah. So it's very – Ty's got 79 with ceiling fans, very comfortable day and night. And I think that's true. You know, ceiling fans is another story. I shouldn't start on this. You know, you can waste money on ceiling fans. If you're using your ceiling fan without turning your air conditioning up, you know what you're doing? You're increasing your power bill without making any difference. It's ceiling fans use power. They do. They use a lot of power, more than most lights use now. And so if you leave your ceiling fan on, you're probably using a lot more power. It's increasing your power bill significantly unless you turn up the thermostat. Unless you reduce the refrigerant that you're using in your thermostat, unless you turn the machine down when you turn the fan on, you're wasting power, basically. That's how it works. But ceiling fans can make your house very comfortable if you increase your thermostat.
Is it all right to say sweating on the radio?
Sweating is a nice thing. Panting is a dog's way of sweating. So
that's right.
When your dog pants, he's just sweating. It's just natural. And it's
but
okay.
They're smart enough to know that when they come in from a few minutes out in the heat, panting, they come in and immediately go to the water bowl.
That's good, too. I don't drink enough water, I'm told. But dogs know how to do it. So Ty is full of good advice this morning. Ty says, only have the fan on in the room you're in. And that is exactly right. Because the fan doesn't cool the room. You know that, right? The fan cools you.
And if you're sweating and that sweat evaporates.
Evaporates. And there it is.
That cools you down.
It is. The fan is a great way of reducing humidity on your person.
Why it's a good idea to wear a T-shirt.
On your body. That's right. Good, good.
Want to go to Robert?
Yeah, let's go to Robert. Hey, Robert, I'm listening. What's up?
Good morning. I purchased some irises. Unfortunately, I bought them at the box store. And they were labeled as giant blue irises.
Which could mean anything.
When I saw the label. But anyway, it did have some flowers on them, and they were blue. And we planted them, and we bought eight of them. And two of them, I want to think it's root rot, that just sort of started to wilt and let the leaves, the leaves laid over on the ground and they died. And when we, picked up the leaves down at the base where they come out of the ground, they were kind of black. And I presume that's root rot, but I wanted to call and see.
Yeah, so here's the big box stores. Bad big box stores. So they probably sold you an iris that is well adapted to dry climates and cooler climates. There are a lot of iris that do well in Tennessee and north that don't do well in our humid, warm environment down here. There are other iris that do really well down here that don't do well up north. But in all likelihood, and there's almost no telling what a giant blue iris is. Though was the foliage kind of grayish? Do you remember the foliage being more grayish, kind of a green gray?
No, it was a kind of a deep green, and I would say we came here from Louisiana.
Yeah.
We had a lot of Louisiana irises,
but it wasn't a Louisiana iris, right?
This is not like them at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a kind of a thicker leaf, especially at the base.
Right.
And the other six of them, of the eight we bought, are really growing well. They're, expanding the leaf foliage, and they look great. But those two just fizzled out, and I didn't know if that was something we did because, in watering, we watered them all the same, so I didn't think it was the watering.
No, well, here's the, and let me just say one thing: the big box stores count on the fact that you're going to believe that this is your fault, that you did something wrong.
Right.
They want you to believe that, and I'm sorry, it's just true, Charlie. Let me push this just a little bit, and they want you to believe that it's your fault. It isn't your fault. They are the ones who did this to you. I'm serious. They did it to you by selling you an iris that will not persist down here. The others will have problems too. The reasons that two of them died out are pretty simple. They are very sensitive to wet soils, and very sensitive to the diseases and insects and pathogens that occur in overly wet soils.
Well,
now, What happens is you've probably got some soils that are stayed a little bit wetter, so those two irises died more quickly than some of the others. Your others are probably gonna pass away soon enough too.
Right.
But the best thing to do is, man, those Louisiana iris, the so-called Louisiana iris, which are great, and in fact they're really abundant in the Mobile Tensaw Delta. David said he took a boat up there yesterday and had a great time. The Louisiana iris are really Gulf Coast iris. They're all along the Gulf Coast. Louisiana had the biggest share of them in some ways in terms of species, but they're really abundant. They do great here. They do beautiful here. And so if you can get some of them Louisiana iris, boy, you ain't going to have that problem with that root rot. They'll love that. They'll love that moist soil. But yes, there are some iris that are just very sensitive here to, unless the soil is very sharply drained. And it's not just the moisture. It's the fact that I think it's also the fact that there are certain diseases and pathogens in the soil that work with the moisture to right. to cause these things to fail.
Well, we live on Ono Island, where it's a big sandbar, you know, and so we didn't think that it was a water problem, because the soil, basically, you dig a hole and it's just sand. You know?
Yeah. Well, we get so much rain, and it is and sand actually has a funny way of compacting. It gets very compacted.
Right.
I would say Ono Island would be the worst place to plant these iris, because the leaves
on these irises actually look like the leaves on the wild irises out in the Louisiana freshwater marsh.
But the flowers don't.
That's what they look like, but anyway, so I kind of figured that, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, if you find the name of that iris, and let's look at it. If you find the name, and it's if it
I
is
had a little tag, and it had the name, but I forgot it.
I'm
in my car. Maybe I'll take a picture of it, send it to you. So
yeah, is it blooming now?
After we got them. Two of them, well, one of them had some blooms on it, but two of them have bloomed since we got them, and they're beautiful, but I kind of figured they were going to go the slow death route.
Well, let's try to find the name of those, and if you get some pictures of the flowers, send it to me and let me see, and I better let Charlie take a break here, and we're going to take a break, and but listen, it's good to talk to you, Robert. Keep me posted
Thank
on
you,
those
sir.
Iris. All right.
Have a good day.
All right.
Parents were born, and there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
This information update brought to you by Truett Insurance and Bonding in Daphne. When you need home, auto, or business insurance, do it with Truett. Call 625-2600 or visit our website, truettinsurance.com. Do it with Truett.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect partly cloudy skies today with scattered afternoon thunderstorms. Highs will be around 90 degrees. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And for Monday, scattered afternoon thunderstorms and high temperatures in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
And my friend Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators in studio. And we're talking about bugs, as always. You're not talking about bugs, but one of the bugs that dominates most conversations for folks here is that of termites. And that's a big deal for us down here.
Yeah, the Formosan swarm, it definitely gets people's attention. You know, it's always, like I said, around Mother's Day. We're getting to that tail end of it, but we're still getting calls with people seeing them still.
How do y'all tackle that? How do y'all, when you come out and you set up a program to keep the termites out, how do y'all do that?
Well, you know, it's tough to keep that swarmer out because it's going to come through 1/64th of an inch. So the swarmers can get in the house. It's just a matter of how many you're seeing and where you're seeing them to actually determine whether you're having a problem.
Okay, so just because I saw some out by the streetlight doesn't mean I have them.
That does not. That just means they're somewhere nearby and they're swarming out. You know, if you call me and you say, hey, they're 2 inches deep in my bathtub, or there's thousands of them in my kitchen or in a particular room, then that would lead to a potential problem, and we'll definitely need to get on that one sooner than later.
All right, if we want to get y'all to come out and check it out, tell us how to get in touch.
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
Attention gardeners, check out this week's specials at A Bloom Garden Center. Now through June 14th, Southern Living Dwarf Crepe Myrtles are 20% off. Ginger plants, including peacock, shampoo, and hidden ginger are 25% off. Also, get huge savings on organic and heirloom seeds on sale now at 30% off. This week only. Don't miss out on these awesome specials and more. Visit today, 116 Alverson Road in West Mobile near Schillinger and Old Shell. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday, 11 to 4. A Bloom, improving your outdoor living.
You finally started to think seriously about retirement. Listen to the Retirement Peace Roadmap radio show for the latest on retirement, tax, and legacy planning. Sunday afternoon at 2, here on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
I got some pretty pictures here. Calvin sent us a picture of tomatoes. Boy, those are beautiful. What a beautiful plate of tomatoes there on the dining room table. Really nice. They're beginning to come in. Calvin, tell me what kind of tomatoes are those? Just tell me what you grew, because they look awful pretty. They look good, and it'd be really useful.
you can eat those by themselves.
So I've been asked to do some people a favor. People message me and say, look, in case my wife is listening, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to get in the middle of a family squabble. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, if your spouse is the kind of person who leaves the lights on and won't turn them off, and if it drives you crazy, here's the solution. Get LEDs. Get LEDs. Because they use so little light, that it doesn't matter. It's an amazing thing how much they've changed the way we use electricity. The other neat thing about LEDs, by the way, if you're still using incandescent bulbs in the South, ooh, you have burned yourself twice. Not only are you using a ton of electricity to run that light, most of that electricity is converted into heat, which heats your room. So it's a funny thing. In the old days when we had incandescent lights, and we had you had a little reading area, and you had a little chair, and you had a light bulb in the chair so you could read, and it was coming over your shoulder. And if you thought, gosh, I feel awful hot here, well, there's no reason you felt awful hot here. That incandescent bulb was running what? I don't know. Some engineer tell me. 130, 140 degrees? It's hot. It's hot to touch. And that heat is coming out right there where you are. Well, the LEDs get hot, but not like that. And they dissipate heat a lot better. They're much more efficient, so they don't shed as much heat. And it's a better thing for your room. It's really, get the LEDs. Leaving fans on, however, Polecat, by the way, leaving the fan on is probably worse than leaving the light on now, because we haven't done as much to make fans efficient as we have making the LEDs. But I would say LEDs, that there it is. And that way, you know, that might save you an argument if it's not going well. Saving electricity will be better. The big argument will be reducing, will be not putting that thermostat down so much. That's the big argument, and that's where it makes a lot of difference. That's where it makes the most difference in your house. Somebody sent me a picture of squash. I got several pictures I need to go through here. Somebody sent me a picture of squash, and it's 5 feet tall, and it's growing in some kind of trug or some kind of artificial container. And it's grown very well, and it's very leafy, and it's very big, and it doesn't have any cucumbers on it. Now, there are a couple of things going on. My cucumbers, I planted my cucumber a little late, later than I should have, but I got cucumbers. They're coming on now. But let me tell you one thing that happens, a couple of things. If you're not getting enough sunlight, you're not going to get, by the way, if you're not getting enough sunlight, can't tell. I see shade. I see a lot of shade in this picture. You'll have to tell me if you're getting sunlight at other times of day, but you need a lot of sunlight to get those things to fruit. Just the first thing. But the second thing is, and I suspect this is happening a lot, because I'm hearing people talk about, gosh, my tomatoes are really exceptionally big. My squash is really big. So is mine. But if you're feeding it too much nitrogen, it will delay, and I won't say it'll prevent, but it will seriously delay the time of flowering and fruiting and the amount of fruit you get, because that plant is going to put all of its effort into putting on leaves. A story that I've tell a lot. In the old days when I scouted cotton, remember me telling this story? And I said, boy, this rainfall is going to be good. And I said that to some cotton farmer. And he looked at me and said, boy, you don't understand. He said, a touch of drought, you got to have a touch of drought to make a good cotton crop. And what happens to cotton and what happens to every plant is if you create these ideal nitrogen conditions and these ideal water conditions, the plant just puts on leaves and vegetative growth, as we like to say, just the leaves, just stems. And it says, and I guess, you know, if I'm a plant and everything and I've got all this stuff, that I'm saying, you know, I don't need to set any fruit. I don't need to set seeds because, man, the conditions are really great. Weather's good. The water's always available. There's plenty of nitrogen. There's more than enough nitrogen. I don't know. I'm not going to even bother to set fruit. Because fruit, what's a waste? I mean, I'm doing fine. What caused the cotton crop to set flowers is when you get that little bit of stress in midsummer. Heat stress, drought stress, maybe even a little lack of fertilizer stress that causes it to say, you know, maybe I need to produce flowers so I can reproduce in case conditions always aren't perfect. I think that's kind of the way plants think. They don't think, it's kind of a simplistic way of saying how plants think, but it's true, effectively. So when you, and I can't tell because all I got is a picture here, but if you're not careful, if you create these two perfect conditions for your cucumbers or your tomatoes and other things, and you're over-fertilizing, but you're not giving them enough sun, over-fertilizing, you could delay the development of those fruits. Variety of cucumbers can make a big difference too. I will tell you that in our hot weather, when the daytime temperatures are this high, some varieties of cucumbers don't perform as well as others. I haven't grown enough varieties of cucumbers to tell you which ones are really good for us and which ones aren't. But there are some cucumber varieties that probably don't stand up well in the heat. But my suspicion is right now is those first two things. That one, if you make sure you got enough sunlight. You can write and tell me if you got enough sunlight. And that means you want sunlight most of the day. And if you do have enough sunlight, tell me about how you're feeding those plants. Are you overfeeding them? Tell me what feeding regimen you're using. It can be difficult to feed plants just right in a container. Sometimes you don't feed them enough. Sometimes you feed them too much. And feeding is the wrong word. It's actually a lubricant. It just is. It's like grease. it's a catalyst that the plant uses to produce its photosynthesis. But if you add too much, it goes into overdrive producing leaves, and I think that may be what's happening here. Can't be absolutely sure. So you'll have to call me and tell me and let me know if that's the case. I have another picture from someone. What is this? A beautiful picture, and we'll post these on our Flickr page. It's a beautiful flower, and it's interesting that people have forgotten these flowers. I go back and forth. Sometimes I think they're really beautiful, and sometimes I think, you know, I'm a little tired of these, but these are really pretty. And sometimes they can be really beautiful. It's Rose of Sharon is the old name we used to call it. Rose of Sharon. Anybody heard of that name? Remember the old Rose of Sharon? That's what I heard growing up. Althea. Sometimes if you had an expert gardener and you said, now what is that? She would say Rose of Sharon. And then she would follow up and she'd just say Althea. As if that's the old nickname for it. Althea is it's a type of hibiscus. It's in the hibiscus family. It's closely related to hibiscus. It's not a true hibiscus, but it is closely related to hibiscus. The flowers resemble hibiscus. Rose of Sharon flower, the Rose of Sharon bush, Althea, a really popular old shrub that we used to have a lot, old flower that we used to have a lot in the South. And there's some very nice varieties out there. I would say this variety looks very beautiful. It's doing very nicely in that yard. It can be a very beautiful thing. Anybody remember Althea? Anybody remember Rose of Sharon? I never thought I'd have to say that. Everybody had one at one time, but that's what that beautiful flower is. Rose of Sharon, Althea. We can talk a little bit more about what's in your garden. We can talk a little bit more about what's in your yard and how to fix it. All you have to do is give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. We got lots of things to talk about, and we're going to take a break first, but we're going to be back.
Father's Day is on the way. Give Dad a style upgrade from D&K. Designer suits by Ralph Lauren, Michael Kors, and more are buy one, get one half off. Slim fit, modern fit, and traditional fit suits start as low as $2 for $200. Is it hard to shop for your pop? Get him a gift card and let him do the choosing. Planning a summer wedding? D&K is your formal wear headquarters with loads of options for purchase and rentals starting from $69.95. For the largest selection and best service, shop D&K on the Beltline today. 665-7350.
This is Chris Francis, board certified master arborist at Chris Francis Tree Care. Trees are such a valuable part of your property. Want to know how to keep pest problems away from your trees? Start by keeping them healthy, making sure they're growing in a favorable environment, providing the proper nutrients, and maintaining the appropriate pH. Meanwhile, certain pests attack perfectly healthy plants. Timely applications of oils, soaps, insecticides, fungicides, and fertilizers will significantly improve survivability. But the key is having knowledgeable experts making regular site visits to catch or prevent problems before they occur, all while protecting the pollinators and beneficials. Does this sound overwhelming? Let our plant health care professionals do it for you. Call 4TREE, that's F-O-R-T-R-E-E, Chris Francis Tree Care, online, chrisfrancistreecare.com, or find us on Facebook, or call 367-8733, 251-4TREE.
Saturday, June 16th, Father's Day weekend. The Mystic Striper 16th Annual Family Fishing Rodeo is on, benefiting the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Win thousands of dollars in cash and prizes, and you don't even have to fish to win. You do have to have a ticket. Adults are $25. Kids 12 and under are only $10. Every kid that weighs a fish gets a specialized medallion. Sponsored by Bass Pro Shop. Find out more and buy your tickets at mssrodeo.com and like us on Facebook.
It's summer, and you find radio station contests everywhere. But summer, better than others. With other contests, your competition could be in Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Montana, or even California.
California!
That's right, California. FM Talk 106.5 contests are just like our programs, local. In the Summer Better Than Others contest, register each week at a different partner business for your chance to win a $50 qualifying prize. And a chance at the grand prize showcase, including a Reactor Valkyrie stainless steel men's watch from the Carrot Patch Jewelers, Adirondack chairs and table from Old Time Fee. Go for the gold with the best chicken tenders for you and your friends at Goldfingers. An inshore fishing charter from Charlie Gray and Gray Gulf Charters. A two-week four-seat cart rental from the Cart Doctor. And a Liberty Fat Boy Junior safe from Mike Ward's Liberty Safes. A grand prize showcase valued at nearly $5,500. Details at fmtalk1065.com and on our Facebook, Local Business, Local Winners. From your local hometown radio station, the Summer Better Than Others contest from FM Talk 106.5.
Are you persuasive? Are you persistent? Are you prepared? Those three qualities will help go a long way as an account manager with FM Talk 106.5. It's an opportunity to get out of the office and work with local businesses, helping them expand their marketing. Experience is preferred, but we'll work with you if you're not, training you in radio advertising. This is Bill Roth, Director of Sales. Drop me an email to jobs at fmtalk1065.com today, and we'll set up an appointment. That's jobs at fmtalk1065.com.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening and a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We're talking about your yard. We're talking about your garden. We're talking about how to improve things. This squash issue comes up a lot, and I want to be fair and honest to everybody who's having problems with squash. Sometimes I think it can be varieties, but mostly remember a couple of things happen with squash. tell me what, you know, I should have asked, and cucumber varieties. Cucumber and squash varieties, they're all sort of cucurbits. The one thing that happens with these plants is that they produce both male and female flowers. Frequently, they will start out by producing a lot of male flowers that don't produce fruit. That's okay. That's what they're supposed to do. And then they'll start producing female flowers. That's okay. That's good. That works. Sometimes it seems like it goes on too long before the female flowers start forming. And then about the time you complain about it, you go out in the yard and you don't tell anybody, but because you've been complaining about it so much, and there's the cucumber. It's just hiding there. It's ready to go. I think you're probably going to start seeing them. But here's the thing. If you've addressed these issues, with you've got cucumbers, you got squash, you're not getting flowers. If you're not getting flowers in particular, I would blame that on shade. It's pretty simple. The second thing I might blame it on is too much fertilizer. Those two things can be a big problem if you're not getting any flowers. If you're getting some flowers but no fruit, then I would say, well, give it a couple of weeks. If you've given it a couple or 3 weeks and you're still not getting any fruit, then I might worry a little bit about lack of sunlight, lack of fertilizer first. But here's another thing you can do, and it's not that hard. Some people say get a Q-tip. I don't get a Q-tip. Find a little paintbrush. I know this sounds crazy, but just listen. Just trust me. Just a little painter's brush. I mean, like a paintbrush like you were going to, kind of like the paints you used when you were in kindergarten. You know, those kind of paintbrushes that you use to paint with if you had like watercolors or, you know, those colors that we put so that it didn't stain kids' clothes. But it's kind of a broad brush, but it's only really about a half inch wide. And just take that brush and just go out and noodle it in a bunch of flowers. Just don't even worry whether you got a male or female flowers. Just take about 20 flowers and just noodle it. It'll take you about, it takes you 20, 30 seconds. It's kind of fun. It's kind of weird. And you'll enjoy it because it's so weird. And just go out and do that. And likelihood is you're going to get some more pollination there. In case the bees are having a hard time finding it, you can pollinate it yourself. Eventually, the bees are going to catch up. The squash should be doing it. You don't want to put a pesticide on a squash plant that needs fertilization, because the chances are you're going to overdo it. Chances are very good that you're going to overdo it, and you're going to kill off the very bugs that you need to pollinate that plant. It's an important thing. So Grapes of Wrath, David has read Grapes of Wrath. There was a character, and I vaguely remember this, Rosa Sharn, which would have been a sort of an Oklahoma way, an old Muskogee way of saying Rose of Sharon, one of the really popular shrubs for a long time, a beautiful shrub, really nice thing. Somebody wrote and suggested that a Rose of Sharon is a Confederate rose. Well, no, not exactly. It's important to distinguish between those two. First, we have to figure out what a Confederate rose is. We're going to set that aside. Rose of Sharon is different. They're both what we call a Confederate rose is also a hibiscus relative. But Confederate Rose and Rose of Sharon are not the same thing. Rose of Sharon's different. It's more woody. It makes more of a tree-like thing than the Confederate Rose. Confederate Rose is neither Confederate, or at least not the Confederacy that you know. It's not really, and it's not a rose. It's another hibiscus. It's a relative of Rose of Sharon. It has larger flowers. That doesn't mean they're prettier. They're just larger. And they're more hibiscus-like because it really is a true hibiscus. It's in the genus Hibiscus. We call it Confederate Rose. I don't know why. I think because we got confused. It's a funny thing. In the old days, shortly after the Confederacy, when people were trying to resurrect the good old cause, as they described it, the good old cause that, in fact, my half of my relatives in Mississippi fought against the Confederacy. They did everything they could to being in Jones County, being in the larger Jones County, and being in Northwest Florida, they did everything they could to escape the Confederacy and its onerous practices. But when we tried to resurrect the glory of the South after the Civil War, one of the interesting things was is that we took all these names and we started giving them. So Confederate Rose, actually, Confederate Rose, interestingly enough, the Confederacy it refers to apparently is the Malaysian Confederacy. maybe the Chinese. It's an Asian plant, and there's the Malaysian Confederacy. I think it came because it came from Malaysia. I think that's how it got the name Confederate Rose attached. Confederate Jasmine, by the way, is the same way. We could take Confederate Jasmine to be something about the Confederacy in the South. Actually, it seems to be about the Confederacy in Malaysia. So when you plant Confederate Rose and Confederate Jasmine in a cemetery to commemorate the Confederate dead, just remember that those Confederates whose memory you're celebrating are actually Malaysian, and everything will be just fine.
You just kind of took the thrill away, Bill.
No, I didn't. I think that makes it more thrilling. What a beautiful hibiscus. Now, there's a real another hibiscus. This is the Chinese hibiscus that Keith is sending us. What a beautiful hibiscus that really is. I have some other pictures here. I'm going to look at a little closer of a tree that's got some beautiful red foliage on it. Looks to me like Clayera, which is the old common name for, get ready for it, the old common name for Ternstromia. Clayeras. If you have any questions about what a Clayera is and whether you really want it, you could call me. It is a little bit weedy. That's why it comes up in the yard. There it is. And Polecat, yeah, Charlie and Polecat both think I'm a joy killer. I think that's interesting. I think it's fun.
Maybe it could be for both.
Maybe it could be. But the Confederate Rose, I don't know what a Confederate Rose was in the 1870s, 1880s. They wrote about it a lot after the Civil War, and it seemed to have been another type of thing. I'm not sure what. I'm not sure anybody really knew. It could have been a camellia. I don't know. But it was sort of the myth of this thing.
I hate to interrupt you, Bill. Yeah. And we had this problem last week that for some reason the music is not going to play, and we got to go right now.
All right, here we go.